This is the time of year when we make resolutions, we set new personal goals, we each try to do better and accomplish more. And the greatest use of this new year is to put first things first and live with eternal priorities. So I want us to discover today that living for Jesus should be our top priority in 2020. Make Jesus the first thought in every decision. If Jesus is already the constant number one priority in your life, then that's great, and you are an exception. I believe that for most of us, there is a barrage of competing attractions scrambling for the primary position of significance in our lives. And so it becomes necessary from time to time for us to consciously recalibrate our priorities and deliberately put Christ in first place. As we prepare to turn the page and open the next chapter of a new year, this is such a time. My tax lady has this prayer posted beside her desk. I want to thank you, Lord, for being close to me so far this day. With your help, I haven't been impatient, lost my temper, been grumpy, judgmental, or envious of anyone. But I will be getting out of bed in a minute, and I think I'll really need your help then. Amen. That's a prayer we all should pray. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. It commands, "And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." Our top priority should be living for him who died for us. That is what should drive our lives every day. Make Jesus the first thought in each decision. The Old Testament system of law was a detailed listing of 613 do's and don'ts related to customs, behavior, work, and diet. And the religious leaders divided the list into two sub-lists. There were 248 affirmative commands, do this, and there were 365 negative commands, don't do this. And then they further divided the list into binding commands and non-binding commands. Then they spent days debating whether their divisions were accurate and then ranking the commands within each division. Just exhausting. Then along comes Jesus, who summed it up in two simple but profound commands, encapsulated it into the two greatest commands. First, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And second, love your neighbor as yourself. And he said all of the law and prophets, all these other rules and laws depend on these two commands. You can sum it up with those two. Let's read about that. Mark chapter 12, beginning of verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, and noticing that Jesus had given a good answer, he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." Trying to honor Christ first in every decision will guide our decisions. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 7 describe the proper response like this. It says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above." Your heart represents the things you love. "Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." Then verse 2 says, "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." In our mind, the things that we think about, that occupy our time. "For you died, your life is hidden with Christ in God. when Christ, who is your life, appears, Jesus is coming back, you will also appear with him in glory. Then verse 5 says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. In the novel, In His Steps, author Charles Sheldon tells the story of a fictional Midwest small town church that determined to ask the question before every decision for the next year, what would Jesus do? And long before the WWJD bracelets became popular, this church made a resolution that for the next year, they would preface any and every decision by asking the penetrating question, what would Jesus do? What if we were to do that as individuals in 2020? Before you made any big choice, decision, you would seek out what God would want you to do. What if we were to do that as a church in this coming year? At every turn, what would Jesus do? What if we were to follow Christ as sold-out disciples, living daily for his glory to fulfill his purpose here on earth? Do you understand what it means to be a disciple of Christ? A.W. Tozer described it this way. He said, a real Christian is an odd number. He expects to go to heaven on the virtue of another. He empties himself in order to be full. He admits he is wrong so he can be declared right. He goes down in order to get up, is strongest when weakest, richest when he is poorest, happiest when he feels the worst. He dies so he can live, forsakes in order to have. He gives away so he can keep. As we make living for Jesus our top priority for 2020, we make Jesus the first thought in every decision. And next, we give him the first day of every week. Some have concluded, well, I can worship just as well on my back porch looking at God's creation. Or I can worship by listening to music in my car. There's really no reason to go to a church building. Or I can worship God when I'm on the golf course. Now, I'm sure that can provide more prayer, but I'm not sure that that's true worship that's taking place. There's no question that we can worship the Lord in nature, but let me give you several reasons for our expectation as a church that we worship each week together, coming together for a variety of reasons. First is worship was the example of Jesus. There should be some customs and habits that you are establishing in your family. Today's a family Sunday. We're glad to have our young people in the service with us. If you are a parent or a grandparent, if you have kids in your life, they will benefit from these healthy habits that you establish as well. Luke 4:16 says, Jesus went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom. Jesus set the example of weekly, consistent worship. So start that habit early with your children. It's not up for discussion. There should be no question of whether the Lord fits into your schedule for the weekend. He should be the top priority. Habits are like cables. Each day we intertwine something and to make a pattern, and these fine threads are woven together. And as they are, a cable is formed. And on any particular day, a thread that we added was too small to be noticed. But after many threads have been woven into the fabric of our lives, they become practically unbreakable cables. Daily practices over time become habits that are hard to change. And so we must be very careful what we weave. Listen to these statistics. They're shocking, really. A popular study revealed that if neither parent attends church regularly, only 6% of their children will be faithful to the Lord and remain in the church. If only mom attends church on a regular basis, then it goes up a little. 15% of the kids will remain faithful to the church. If only dad attends on a regular basis, it climbs to 55% of the kids will remain faithful. However, if both mom and dad attend church on a weekly, consistent basis, 72% of the time, their children will remain faithful in their church attendance. Another thing is that worship was the example of the early church. It wasn't just Jesus' example, but it was set for us by the early Christians. In Acts chapter 20, verse 7, it says, on the first day of the week, Sunday, we came together to break bread. 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up, Paul said, so when I come, no collections will have to be made. Again, worship was a part of the weekly habit of the early church. Another reason I think for worship is worship was for accountability and fellowship. When you worship weekly, you're placing yourselves under the spiritual leadership of the church. If you miss church, you're missing out on service opportunities, evangelistic chances, and you'll miss out on the accountability that comes from the biblical structure of having an eldership which oversees the spiritual needs of the church and the doctrinal purity of the church they protect. I think sometimes people become uncomfortable or convicted with biblical truth, and they hear something which points out some duplicity in their lives, then rather than put themselves in a position where the Holy Spirit can convict them of sin and draw them to repentance, sometimes they choose to stop coming to church so they don't have to hear that message because it's convicting. That way they don't have to deal with it. But eventually they'll have to deal with it, and later it may be too late where it could have prevented marriage failure or personal tragedy had they heeded the messages from God's Word. That accountability and fellowship can breathe life into a spiritual life that is struggling due to being isolated from God's truth and from His people. I think also worship weekly was an act of obedience in the Bible. The Bible commands us to come together for worship. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. You know, the early Christians were always looking ahead for Christ's return. You know, we've just celebrated Christmas and the excitement over His first coming to earth. We should live with that same expectancy in terms of His second coming and His return to earth. And so we're going to do a series beginning next week on the book of 1 Thessalonians. And it's called Ready or Not. Are you ready for Christ's return? And we'll help you get ready for that. So weekly worship was an act of obedience, and part of what you are doing is out of a sense of duty, a responsibility. You're in God's house because you're part of God's family. And sometimes it will be a duty, but even during those times, you will be amazed at how God can bring good and encourage you. Sometimes you come to church as an act of obedience, and maybe that week the music doesn't grab you or the message doesn't connect with you, but you're here because you know that if you are here, then you can hear the Lord speak into your life. I think another reason is that worship provides challenge and comfort. Worship has a way of disturbing those who are comfortable and comforting those who are disturbed. And that disturbance in your life may be due to a death, to difficulty, to downsizing, to displacement. But regardless of the cause, worship puts a healing salve on an open wound and can start that process to health. We were made for worship, to love God and enjoy Him forever. And the next priority as we work to make living for Jesus our top priority in 2020, it challenges us to give him the first tenth of every dollar. In Proverbs 3:9, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crop. And this idea of first fruits in the Bible is when they were gathering in the harvest, they would gather the first sweep of the field, and then they'd stop, and they would have a worship service. And they would say, thank you, God, for providing us with this harvest. We are grateful. You are the source. And it was an act of gratitude, but it was also an act of faith because they didn't have the whole harvest safely collected and in the barn. They were relying on God to provide the rest of the harvest. So today we give God the first fruits of our income as we put him first ahead of any of our other expenses or bills. As we humbly subordinate to his lordship, it's an act of gratitude as well as an act of faith. In Malachi 3:10, it says, bring the whole tithe, that's the first tenth of every dollar, into the storehouse. And I think the church constitutes that gathering place where we dispense that money for missions, for teaching, for benevolence. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Last month, we had our faith promise commitments where we said, with God's help, I plan to give X amount of dollars to the Lord's work at Bright in 2020. And many of you signed on to begin tithing, to step up to that level of giving that first tenth of every dollar to God. And so next Sunday, we start that journey for those who have not been on that path before. Remember, I'd rather live on 90% of my income with God's blessing than live on 100% of my income without God's blessing. There's a fourth way that we can make Jesus the top priority in 2020, and that's to make him the first priority of every day. Humorist Robert Henry, a professional speaker, one evening went to a large discount department store in search of a pair of binoculars. He said, as he walked to the appropriate counter, he noticed there was only one customer in the entire store. Behind the counter were two salespersons. One was so preoccupied talking on the telephone to Mama that she refused to even acknowledge that Robert was there. At the other end of the counter, a second salesperson was unloading inventory from a box onto the shelves. And so, growing impatient, Robert walked down to her end of the counter and just stood there, trying to get noticed. Finally, she looked up at Robert and said, you got a number? I got a what? Asked Robert, trying to control his astonishment at such absurdity. You got a number. You got to have a number. Robert replied, lady, I'm the only customer in the store. I don't need a number. Can't you see how ridiculous this is? But she failed to see the absurdity and insisted that Robert take a number. By now, it was obvious to Robert that she was more interested in following procedure than in helping the customer. So you know what he did? He went over to the take a number machine and pulled number 37 and then walked back to the salesperson. With that, she promptly went back to her number counter, which revealed the last customer served, or in this case probably waited on, had been holding number 34. So she screamed out, 35, 35, 36, 37. I'm number 37, Robert said. May I help you? She asked without cracking a smile. No, Robert replied. He turned around and walked out of the store. There's a lady who's lost sight of the priority. Sometimes we lose sight of our priorities. We forget to keep the main thing the main thing. And that's what this reminder is for today. Jesus needs to be the top priority in our lives in 2020. Kent referred to this verse earlier when we were worshiping in song, Matthew 6, 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. As you go through your day, take Jesus with you. Make him your faithful companion. And if you do so, you will never be alone. And as his ambassador, you'll have the opportunity to speak up for him, to represent him to all with whom you come in contact. Put him first and look for ways to point others to him. Strive for consistency, and you can earn the right to be heard. Take a genuine interest in all you encounter, and you will have the chance to speak into their lives. And that will help create conversations that can take on eternally epic proportions. Listen to 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. As we start out this new year, we need to understand that talking to others about the Lord is every Christian's opportunity and duty. It's not just the staff or the elders or the small group leaders or the deacons. Each Christ follower should live out this first priority of every day. That's why I love the story of Stephanie Sicking so much. Last spring, Stephanie learned that a friend on her postal route was dealing with multiple types of life-threatening cancer. And Steph spoke with her friend of her concern for his spiritual welfare. She told Dick, "I want you to be in heaven with me." And she invited Dick to visit Bright for Easter Sunday. And he and his girlfriend Kim attended on Easter and liked it and began to come to worship at Bright almost every week. A few months later, Kim committed her life to Christ and was baptized. Dick, playing injured with four types of cancer and great pain, continued to come faithfully to Bright from Fort Wright, Kentucky, and was present in worship almost every Sunday. Late in September, Dick told me he was ready to be baptized. It was very special. I want you to see this decision that makes a difference.
Dick, today it is my honor and privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, and to give you that promise and assurance of eternal life.
This afternoon, I will be conducting the funeral service for Dick, who passed away last weekend. And while we are all sad that this courageous fighter is gone, there is a distinct peace and sense of joy among those of us who knew and loved him. We do not grieve like those who have no hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. We've been promised we will see him again someday in heaven. We will spend eternity with him. And that's all because a friend cared enough about Dick and where he would spend eternity that she invited him to an Easter service. Would you commit to make sharing Christ your first priority in every day in this new year? Our Father, we admit that sometimes we get our priorities a little bit out of line. We can get so concerned with the day-to-day needs and pressures and struggles that we forget that eternity is hanging in the balance for every person that we meet throughout the day. And so with that reminder ringing in our ears, may we leave this building putting you first in every realm of our lives all year long. It's our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand right now? We're going to sing a song of worship. If you need to respond to the Lord in some way, come to the front. We'll guide you to our next steps.